This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, it's my fault, really, for trying. 612. Highs today of maybe record heat, highs of 85 perhaps. Windy, if you go outside right now, and I was taking a dog for a walk earlier. Man, these fuzzy things from the oak trees are being blown about. It's today's got Benadryl written all over it if you suffer from allergies. Windy today, tomorrow, highs of 85 through Friday. Windy Saturday, same thing. Pretty much what today is like is going to be the way it is through Saturday, then a 90% chance for showers on Sunday, 70% on Monday. Then a cool front comes through, knocks the high temperatures down Monday to 63, upper 60s for Tuesday and Wednesday. But before you know it, as we go further into April, the heat and humidity are going to increase. Walter Dublane joins us now, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, UNO, to discuss Liberation Day, as the president is calling it, a day of tariffs. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Let's talk
good
about...
To be here.
Thanks for taking the time with us. I think Liberation Day is a bit grandiose. It puts you in the mind of, you know, Marines marching down the street and confetti coming off of the tops of the buildings and girls running up with flowers to bankers or somebody. I don't know who they would give the flowers to. But let's start, because you and I have had this conversation 1,000 times before, maybe because today is the day the tariffs go into effect, people start paying attention. I guess we should start off, Dub, with what is a tariff and what does it mean?
A tariff is just tax. It's a tax on goods imported into the United States. So it's kind of like our sales tax, only when it's on taxes. It's on the goods that are imported into the U.S.
Do we know what Liberation Day is going to look like today, or does the White House, or have they released any details on who's going to be tariffed and how?
I don't think they've released any details. You know, he's talked a lot about, the president's talked a lot about these as being reciprocal tariffs. So, for instance, there's some countries such as India and a couple of countries in Africa and Turkey that charge fairly high tariffs on U.S. goods. And he's kind of indicated he was going to focus the highest tariffs on those people that charge tariffs on our goods. So that's why he calls them reciprocal tariffs. We currently have some of the lowest tariffs in the world. Now, the countries that usually charge the higher tariffs tend to be developing countries. So we really don't have much, for instance, with Canada, the U.S., and Europe, which is where he started. Mm-hmm. But with and so it's going to be interesting to see if that's what he does, is focus on those less developed countries, view that as a way of growing their, infant industries, is the argument they give for their tariffs.
So the president says this is going to generate revenue, as it did back in the day, which, as I understand it, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Dub, because you can explain it better than I can. In the McKinley days, was a revenue generator, not a manufacturing development tool. But the president thinks that this is going to be both.
Well, I mean, obviously, any taxes that they collect will go to the U.S. government. It will be a revenue to the U.S. government. But the question is, who pays the tax? And for the most part, it's going to be U.S. citizens are now paying the taxes. Now, Trump likes to lower taxes in general. He argues about that, but these are taxes he wants to raise. And he seems to argue that they're going to be paid by the foreign countries, but there's no evidence and they might pay a little bit of it, but there's no evidence that they will pay the majority of the taxes. It'll be U.S. customers U.S. consumers that pay the taxes.
All right, let's talk about the economics of if it costs more for you to buy a product in China, then people will start manufacturing that product here, and as a result, the U.S. economy will bring back manufacturing and it will create jobs. If that does happen, at what cost and what would that look like?
Yes, there are certainly some truth to that. But first thing to remember is, why is it being made in China in the first place? And the answer is because they can make it cheaper there. So if it gets brought back to the U.S., by definition, it'll be more expensive. So even if they're made in the U.S., the consumers will be paying more for the product, because the reason it's not made here right now is because they can make it cheaper someplace else. So again, the U.S. customers, the U.S. consumers will pay for it. Now, it will create jobs as they import some of those industries back to the U.S. The problem is that it's almost certain, as we saw it seen in the past, I mean, Canada and Mexico are already talking about doing it, is if we raise taxes, tariffs on them, then they'll file reciprocal tariffs on the products that we export to them. And so, again, it'll cost us jobs here in the U.S. in those sectors. So we'll create jobs in some areas and lose jobs in other areas. So that is not, whether it's a net gain or not is not clear.
So is there an economic number that somebody has to make per hour, a worker per hour, to be self-supporting in the United States, generally speaking? I know it depends on area to area. Cost of living is different. But generally speaking, what a laborer would have to, or a manufacturing plant would have to pay a worker per hour in order to have them not be on, be the working poor and be able to be self-sustaining and so forth?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, there are some states and cities that have used $15 an hour as kind of the, you know, raise their minimum wage up to that to try to get into an argument in that level. Now, you're still going to be pretty poor at $15 an hour, but that is a number that people have used.
So $15 an hour, 2080 is the number of hours per week, right? That's what you usually use to a year, 2080. So that comes out to $31,200. So that's for one person working. If they have a family to support, then you would figure, well, let's double it. So that would be $62,400 if you paid them $30 an hour. If you did pay them $30 an hour and the products were manufactured here, well, how does that compare with what people that are working in the countries from whom we import products are making? They're not making $30 an hour there, are they?
Oh, no. They may not be making $30 a day. So so that's part of it. There's one interesting story that says, you know, we did attack China with tariffs. And one of the things that happened because we attacked China with tariffs is that a lot of those jobs, especially those, you know, jobs for clothing and things like that, a lot of those jobs moved to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So we now have Vietnam, interestingly enough, is kind of the country where we, in the fourth largest trade deficit in the world, is with Vietnam. Again, it used to be with China. I mean, still, China is still number one. But one of the things that's happened is a lot of those jobs that left China because of the tariffs didn't come to the U.S. They went to Vietnam and to Bangladesh and places like that. And it's not really clear that we really want those type of jobs back in the U.S. Because those are just poor, unskilled labor jobs. And that's not where we have a comparative advantage, which is what free trade is all about, is making the products where you have a comparative advantage over other people.
So let me take a break. Somebody texted in, why doesn't anyone push back on these people who say Americans will pay the tariffs as taxes? At least we get the choice to buy something that has been tariffed. You can talk, address that when we come back. Dub Lane, professor of economics and finance at UNO. Every piece of clothing I bought lately seems to be made in Vietnam or Bangladesh. Not that I'm trying to do that. It just seems like that's where they're made. And if those jobs were to come in to the United States, the sport jacket that I now buy for $199 because I'm not a member of the Rex organization, Dub, that sport jacket would, manufactured here in the United States, would go up to what? If I chose to pay the tariffs, or if I chose to pay the tariffs, or if I chose to, if they bring the job back here to America and they pay somebody the money that they need to live without going on federal assistance, roughly that $199 sport jacket would go up to? You got any idea?
Well, that would be $250.
Okay, so there you go. So you would pay more. You would be paying $60 more for the jacket you're paying now because of the tariff. Or you could choose not to buy it, as this person texted in. You can buy something that has, I don't know what they're trying to say. We'll address it when we come back. 621 traffic now, WWL. All right, back to Dub Lane, Walter Dub Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO, talking about today being the so-called Liberation Day with tariffs. I don't know that the results have been released yet. Dub, let me read a couple of texts to you, and you can jump in where you feel comfortable, all right? I own a T-shirt company. There's only three manufacturers left in the U.S. Bayside comes to mind. Their products are a little bit more expensive, but a lot of my clients like the American-made part. Tommy, this sounds like one big giant tax increase, says this text. Tax increase is disguised by telling Americans other countries are going to pay one. In fact, we are. Sounds like another joke, such as we're going to build the wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. Somebody texted in and said, I'm a mechanic and I buy any American-made tool that I can. Somebody else said, Garanimals baby and toddler clothing was once made in Louisiana, sold exclusively by Walmart. Garanimals brand clothing is now made in Vietnam. So, with all of that said, let's presume that tariffs work, that manufacturing comes back to the United States, that we pay people $30 an hour to manufacture American products and the public buys them. What does that do to inflation? What does that do to the economy? Take me through every scenario, if you can.
Well, again, certainly it's going to affect inflation. Now, the economists are, because this is inflation is when prices go up. Now, if this was like a one-time bump and they all of a sudden jumped up by 10% and then kind of stayed steady again, that's one thing. Whether they would go up and then keep going up is a little less certain. But some inflation is certain out of this. The other part of it was that the big bank economists have increased the probability of recession. They doubled their probability that recession will happen this year because of these tariffs. But in hearing more about that, what they're saying is the only reason they're not raising it higher is because they don't know if these tariffs will be permanent or if he's just using it to get some of the other countries to lower their tariffs and then they'll go back down again. So, if they're permanent, then their probability of recession becomes much higher. Those are the two major effects that we're predicting.
Let's talk about the economy is comprised of a lot of different things. A lot of people have money in the stock market and 401ks. At the advice of my guy, I took a lot of money out to make sure I could pay my house off. Before, as he quote him, he said, tariffs crater the economy if that happens. How is Wall Street reacting to all of this, and how is the economy in general in the United States likely to react to this?
Well, again, the Wall Street has taken a dive in the last couple of months. But right now, it's kind of flipping up and down because they're not sure exactly, again, whether these are going to be permanent or not. I predict if it becomes clear that this is a policy that's going to go and stick, then I think you're going to see a much bigger dive in the stock market. Again, the other thing is that, yes, he's trying to create jobs in America, but again, some his first tariffs are going to be on automobiles, and yet you're hearing Detroit is not happy about this. You think they would be if they're the ones that are benefiting from it, that will be making cars in the U.S. More. But because automobile industry is real interesting, because right now, for instance, especially with free trade with Mexico, they may make part of it in the U.S., send it to Mexico, add something to it, bring it back to the United States, do more with it, send it to Mexico, put it together, and then import it back to the United States. So it gets really complicated. And if all of a sudden they have to pay tariff every time it crosses the border, then that whole market becomes really very bizarre.
They're going to kill me because I'm asking you a question here at 6:30, but give me a 60-second answer if you can, please, Max. And
sure.
That is, let's say the president is bluffing and playing a game of Texas Hold'em and he wins. How does the stock market react? Let's say the tariffs stay in effect and has the effect on the economy that people think it will. How does the stock market react? Either way.
Well, again, if we're right, then the stock market's going to crash because, if you start predicting about a recession coming up, that's going to affect very negatively on the stock market.
But if other countries cave in to President Trump's gambit, then the stock market reacts
then, and bounces back. Then we might have much more positive effects.
There you go. Thank you, Dub. Appreciate it. 6:30 time now, WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about tariffs. Somebody texted in, and you drive a 2014 Honda CRV. Yeah, I do. I don't know what your point is in that. I live within my means, and it's a dependable vehicle, and it's got a timing chain, not a belt, and I'm going to drive it till it dies because I just live a conservative lifestyle. But because of that, I don't really have to worry about tariffs because I don't spend that much money at all, and whatever effect it's going to have is going to be minimal on me. I worry about people that are living either above their means or are overextended and are going to be hurt by this because they're not going to be able to pay their bills or this or that or the other thing. Maybe it'll work out. I don't know. Leah Long joins us now, director of Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, to talk about how they feel about small business, about proposed tariffs, and what they hope to see lawmakers tackle in the upcoming session. How you doing, Leah?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Tell me your thoughts about what are small business people thinking about tariffs?
You know, we have heard from a few small business owners that are currently impacted or they're concerned. But, you know, right now they're energized kind of on the new administration in general. They're energized on what it can look like for their future. But on a federal level, yeah, we have heard some kind of complain about tariffs, be a little uncertain about what it looks like. But right now, their biggest issue is actually the 20% small business deduction. I think we've talked about that on here quite a bit. But that's their biggest concern right now, because if that's not reinstated, it doesn't really matter what goes on with the tariffs, because they're going to be hit with a huge tax increase if it isn't reinstated permanently.
Let's talk about that. 20%, what is it you said?
It's a 20% small business deduction. So obviously right now, small businesses are not, they don't pay the taxes on the first 20% of their profit.
Yeah, wait, hang on, Leah. Let me slow up a little bit here. You're talking about federal taxes?
Yeah, federal.
Okay, mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So first 20% of profits is not taxed by the IRS as it stands now?
Yes. Okay. So it's called it was put back when the Trump administration was first in. It's the 20% small business deduction. It's actually set to expire in 2025.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a huge push between small business owners and FIB to get this reinstated. And so we're urging all of Congress, you know, the importance of this, and that if, you know, small businesses don't get this reinstated, they're going to be hit with a huge tax increase. And as we always say, it's already hard enough to own and operate a small business in the current economy, and has been for quite a while, that would be devastating for these small business owners.
Louisiana has a lot of stroke in Washington right now with Mike Johnson,
yes,
and Steve Scalise. I presume the small business Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses has been in their ear, email, inbox, text, whatever you call it.
Yeah, constantly. And so far, the Louisiana delegation, they've been great. They understand. Some have been co-sponsors. So that's been a huge thing. But you've got to, you know, make sure you can see, make sure all Congress members understand, not just Louisiana. So as a group effort, hopefully getting that reinstated. And that kind of adds to a little bit of the uncertainty that they're concerned about with the tariffs. But, you know, you have that going on. Also, the tax thing, and, you know, just locally, I know we're going to talk about legislative priorities, mm-hmm, and we always talk about insurance. So the small business owners, our main priority for this session is going to be insurance and lawsuit abuse reform. As we've talked about the last year, I guess, everyone's been talking about insurance, but we're hopeful that with Commissioner Tim Temple and the governor and the legislators that, you know, we can move in the right direction. It's not going to move overnight, but we need to start bringing bills that actually affect, you know, these insurance rates.
Tell me about the importance of small businesses, not just in Louisiana, but in the country. And I'll tell you in a second why I'm asking you that.
Well, you think about small business, it's pretty much the backbone of the economy. You know, it's what creates the community you live in. They employ the community, and they give back to the community. And you think about it, you go, you know, whatever town you may be in, there's a local store or something that is a small business owner. And those people set out to create a business and, you know, employ people and have a better life for themselves. And I always say that's the American dream, right?
Right. So the 20% small business deduction is important to the entire nation, not just Louisiana, and it's the National Federation of Independent Businesses. It would seem to me that this would be a slam dunk in Congress. Tell me what's the holdup? What's the problem?
It's just getting it reinstated. You know, it takes, you got to get it through there. You got to get it to the president's desk. So, we're hoping, administration obviously will sign it and that'll go. But you've got some people that, whether what side of the aisle this is a bipartisan issue, right? Because it affects every type of business owner. So it's not a political issue. It's a business issue.
So who's pushing back, Lee, I guess is what I'm wondering, because I don't care if it's a, I'm trying to go as far left as I can. I don't care if it's a head shop that sells marijuana devices or it's a MAGA shop. Either way, it's a small business owner. So they're concerned about this. I don't understand why this would not breeze its way through Congress. Am I missing something?
Well, it was probably the previous administration, just some of the mandated overreach on small business. And so since it was not set to expire until 2025, no one, in typical government fashion, they usually don't take care of it until, right when you have to. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where they're at. If it would have expired, in 2022, we probably would be here in the same position, regardless of what administration was in charge or not, trying to remind them the importance of this.
So if it does,
we're hopeful that it's going to get there.
If it does expire, what kind of effect does that have on small businesses?
Drastic. You think about that, a 20% tax increase could do a business in. I mean, that's huge. So, some of the small businesses that rely on that at the end of the year and make sure that that's calculated into their revenue and how they can reinvest in their company, and it'll affect, how they pay their employees. So it's going to be devastating. 9 out of 10 small business owners will have major issues with this if it is not reinstated.
All right, let me take a break. 6:50, talking to Leah Long, Director of Louisiana Chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. We have already addressed tariffs and the 20% small business deduction. We'll talk about legislative priorities for that session that's set to begin later on this month. A cloudy, muggy Wednesday morning. Let's look at traffic now on WWL. 6:56, call it 4 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Leah Long, Director of Louisiana Chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. We've already talked about tariffs on this so-called Liberation Day and also about the 20% small business deduction. Leah, somebody texted in, and this is not a bad question, and they said, I own a small business, and I'm obviously all for it, but before Trump passed the 20% small business deduction, what were small businesses doing?
They still had the tax break. It just wasn't the full 20%. So there was a deduction in there, but it just got extended when Trump was in the first time.
Increased or extended?
Increased, not okay. Extended. We would love to extend. We need to extend and make it permanent forever.
All right, let's talk about, nobody wants to pay taxes. Let's talk about the legislative session. You talked about insurance and tort reform. Tell me the challenges that small businesses face as it relates to insurance. And are you talking about liability with slip and falls? Are you talking about vehicular insurance, all of the above?
All of the above. That kind of breaks down into workers' comp issues and then, the issues they face with that. But, for small businesses, they rarely have the, excessive amount of money laying around to fight these litigation costs. And so actually small businesses end up paying more in litigation costs because you've got to go get an attorney, do all of that. Most of these small business owners don't have an attorney in-house. They don't have one on, retainer either. And so the high insurance rates and the legal expenses really do limit their ability to, grow and create jobs and reinvest in their company. And so that's one thing that, you think about a bad lawsuit, it could actually take a small business out, if it's bad enough. And so I think that's one thing we've got to think about moving into the session is, we've been talking about it for a year and a half now, but what do we do about the insurance rates? Well, they're getting unaffordable and, it's just bad environment to own and operate a business if the legal climate is the way it is here.
Tell me about
a big one.
With the small business break. Somebody texted in, what is defined as a small business? And by statute, who is it that gets the 20% break?
So the national, federal it's 500 employees or less. And then if you're not publicly traded, to make you an independent small business. So your accountant should know, that's what I always say. If people have questions, if you are a small business owner and you want to make sure that you're getting the full amounts that you need, talk to your CPA.
So when it comes to insurance reform and tort reform, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And I've said this before, there's a way. But do you really think there's the will in a legislative session to do anything about this? Because the trial attorneys, and look, trial attorneys do some good work for some people. Trial attorneys are small business owners in a lot of different ways. But I don't see the political will changing anything soon. I might be wrong. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of spotlight on this session, you know, due to the constitutional amendments failing and, you know, kind of back to the drawing board on taxes. But we can't forget insurance. You know, we all, none of us, as you said earlier, want to pay taxes, and we want to make it a better, you know, business climate here in general. And that also includes insurance. So I'm hopeful, because if we do nothing, then we'll get no changes. And so we can't keep doing nothing. We're about 20 years behind. States around us have big insurance packages. Florida, you know, they're trying to revamp their system. And so we've got to move forward. You know, we can't stay the same. If not, we're going to continue to get worse here in Louisiana.
I totally agree with everything you said, Leah, but my name's Thomas, and I'll believe it when I see it. Thank you, Leah Long, Director of the Louisiana Chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. We'll come back, talk to Jerry Bologna, Executive Director of JEDCO, about what could happen with the Esplanade Mall and some other things in Jefferson Parish. And we'll talk with Stephanie Regal, business writer for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, about the long-running bankruptcy case for the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Wednesday morning, moving right along. Stay with me, Tommy Tucker, WWL.